Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play. Like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Friday, golly gee, oh my day, hallelujah, it's Friday, the weekend's here and we'll have a kid of me, we'll relax, hallelujah, and take off our slacks, hallelujah, and sit around the house in our rotten underwear, hallelujah.
What is that, Lil? 12 hands in a row? Dukes, you son of a bitch, nobody's that lucky.
Now here's your host, the Big Silly.
Chad Dukes.
Charlie Hotel.
Alpha. Delta, yeah, Dukes. Dig it!
The airport code of grace and ground, you with me.
Hey there, boy. It's your pal, Jimmy J. I got another free Friday episode of the Chad Dukes Show for you. Just another stellar week of shows. The Chad Dukes Show, the Chad Dukes YouTube page. There is content galore for everybody. We had a bit of a normal schedule, though, this week because Tor was able to record with Dukes during the day. So we got a 2 p.m. release of Monday's show. The fellas opened the show with a discussion about on versus on. Yeah, that's a problem. My apologies. I'll try not to say it. They give the full preview of the upcoming Sword Show that is later tonight, which will be on Facebook and YouTube. Dukes takes a moment to celebrate the signing of DeAndre Hopkins with the Tennessee Titans. And there's a bit of a creepy move that was pulled on Gigantor by a listener. So damn entertaining. But right at the beginning of the show, we discussed what was last weekend when we had a little group of us come in and try to figure out what can we do to make these hoot nannies go to Facebook and YouTube? Well, we figured it out, but in the midst of figuring it out, we caused a little bit of frustration.
Friendos, head over to the Chad Dukes Show on YouTube to get more great shows and segments of the Chad Dukes Show and Solid Dudes with Chad Dukes. That's youtube.com/Chad Dukes Show, and make sure to like and subscribe.
I am joined by my producer and, of course, spokesmodel Gigantor is with us here live and in person. You guys only know him from the internet, taking off his pants and modeling shirts and such. But I get to see him live in person wearing another drab T-shirt as his metamorphosis into drab T-shirt gets closer and closer. Hello, Tor. How are you, bud?
As long as my metamorphosis doesn't turn me into Josh Soroka, Drunk Dirk, or Jim Jester saying on.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about that.
It was a parade on Sunday.
Why weren't we taping that? Why didn't we run tape on that shit?
Toggle on.
They must have said on. So, Dirk's from here, by the way. He's from Northern Virginia.
I don't know where it comes from.
At one point, he said, it's just easier to say on than it is to say on. And I said, no, it isn't, Dirk. They're both one syllable, you fucking maniac. And then Stroka's like angrily defiant about it because he's fucking the Baron of Baltimore. So he's like, how many times did they say toggle it on?
There's got to be another word. Switch it. There's got to be another term than on for those three to be able to say.
Holy shit. So we're up here in the studio on Sunday. The boys all were generous enough to sacrifice some of their time because we wanted to make some updates and we want to be able to stream on Facebook and on YouTube for the Hootenannies. And, you know, we're still dealing with, I don't like to kick dirt on him because whatever, but Hurricane Oscar, when it comes to the way shit is set up here, years later, it's still like, what? Okay, what? How does this work? So we're having to like try to streamline the process, and we want to still use the cameras that we have because they're much better than any cameras that we're just going to go out and buy at Micro Center or whatever the fuck Joe used to work. So the boys were trying downloading programs and trying to figure out how to push the stream into different areas. And because of that, there are three sitting around saying on just nonstop. It's Jester, it's Josh over the fucking blower, and it's Dirk. And at one point, Tor and I just look at each other, and they must have been saying it every third word at one point during that whole back and forth of trying to get that video up and running.
It was a festival, and it felt like they were pushing it in our faces that we say on and not on.
I just couldn't believe it. And these are all like, well, Jem's not smart, but the other two guys are smart guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you got to know that one way is the right way to say it and one way isn't. And I had to assume that we were just being made fun of, that they knew that we were over there just baffled at what was being said. And then I think Jim at one point said water, like water. And then Jim was just clawing. When Jim gets nervous, he claws just constantly. And I'm like, Jim, it's just say okay. It's not that hard. You're going to go, mukka, mukka. He says M-U-H-K-A-H. Mukka, mukka. How many times did he say mukha to Josh Roka?
And then he does the, I like the one quick move he makes with his right hand where he just jets back and forth
from
the iPad to whatever he's going
over.
He
knocks something over and knocks us offline. And then he's like, I think Jim's got a little ownership over like the iPad and the cameras because that's his fiefdom. And one of the things that I was desperately trying to get out of, Jim's really the only one that knows how to run the cameras, and I can't run a business that way. So, like, I'm trying to get it to a setup where it's like, hey, can anyone just sit down and fire up this thing and switch between cameras? And I think I don't want to accuse him of this fully. He might have been trying to sabotage that. So he's mukhaing and fucking. Yeah. And then Dirk's, like, trying to help him, and Jim's getting hostile. Did you notice that part of it, too? So Dirk, why don't I try this? You don't even know what I'm going to do. How can you tell me I'm going to be wrong? I'm like, oh, shit.
Well, Dirk was a bit of a panicky Pete, it seemed like.
I need that. I need that.
I know, but it at times you had to tell him, hey, Dirk, simmer down.
Yeah, you got to chill out. He's a little high strung.
We're going to get to the solution.
He's got some anxiety issues, and they bleed into it. And I was like, you know, he seemed okay up here with us, but I'm like, calm down. I notice you're shaking. I've never seen so much shaking, by the way. Everybody was shaking. Shroka wasn't, but of course he's in Florida. Just saying horn and on and border, oh, just nonstop. Man, that was a crazy hour. Yeah, at one point I was positive that they were ratcheting it up just for our benefit. But
yeah, we would get a break. And you know what? That I'll take some ownership on being violently hungover.
You were not at your peak form.
I was in rough shape.
You were not in final form. My God. I said to Tor, I go, hey, Tor, since we're all here, do you just want to bang out Monday's episode so you can, you know, have tomorrow off? And he's like, no way. I'm not in any shape to do nothing.
I didn't have an ounce of comedy or even just speaking ability in my body.
You were able to put a shirt on, which I appreciate. I walked the boys down to the Commonwealth Dry Goods after we were finished up. And I was like, hey, do you boys mind modeling the Haraday Roy shirts, which, by the way, I've got to give a big verbal nod.
Hey, there, boy.
I got to give a big verbal nod.
Haraday Roy.
Bus killed it. His the Haraday Roy Chad Duke Show logo is a 10. And then the hats pop. The fucking shirts pop. We got them printed on a diner mug. Those look amazing.
Haraday Roy.
I was very excited about that.
Hey, there, boy.
And so I walked Jimmy down. And tore down, and Jimmy's does the bit now that he's lost a few pounds where he does a lot of weird, like, low-key flexes.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my chick on the phone. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm like, I pull some shirts for the boys. I said, Tor, what do you wear? And Tor's like, I wear a XL. And Jimmy's like, I wear a 2XL. And it's like, Jim,
you
don't wear a 2XL. No. You don't. And he's like, no, really, dear, and I'm like, okay. So we get down, and my wife had pulled a 3XL for you and a 4XL for Jim. I think she didn't want to insult anybody, but she also was kind of being a realist.
Yeah.
Every time I'm like looking through some clothes, I'm like, you think I can get into an XL? She's like, no, you can't. And I'm like, oh, okay. Jim puts on the 4XL. He's like, well, I'm usually a 3, but, you know, I don't want you to have to go out of your way. And, of course, it fits him perfectly. I'm like, Jim, you can lose weight and still wear clothes that are fitting of you. It's not that big of a deal. Tor, unfortunately, looked like a smoked sausage. I mean,
I'm sorry to cut you off.
It just looked like a lamb casing of a sausage is just fucking just rolled over your body. And then I said to him, I said, Tor, do you want to go up a size? Because that looks a little tight. He's like, no, just get it over with.
I was not putting the shirt back on again. That was too much movement.
It was tough for you to get that shirt on, I saw.
Yeah.
You were breathing heavy afterwards.
It was just a bad day. It was a bad day. But Jimmy, a lot of people say the shirts are getting smaller because they're getting fatter. And, you know, I'll have that jag also.
Oh, I do that all the time.
But shirts are also getting smaller, Jimmy. So a 2X is not a 2X. You're still not in that realm yet.
I think both are probably true. And then Jim did it. He kind of sandbagged you a little bit because I was looking at the picture and he like took a step and a half behind you.
Yeah.
So Jim, from Force perspective, looks like a child standing next to you in the picture. You can see it on @ChadDukes on Instagram. The boys are modeling the merch. So Tor just looks like this fucking, because Jim is not a small guy. Like Jim's 6 foot and he's 700 pounds. But the way that this picture turned out, it makes his Tor look like the biggest ogre you've ever seen in your life. And then he's also hungover, so he's miserable. It's a fucking wild picture, man. It's one of my favorite pictures that's ever been taken.
I'm actually, you know what? I'm surprisingly fine with the picture because it looks better than how I felt. So that if that makes any sense.
That's really sad if that's the case. Yes. Because you look unhappy in these pictures. But do you see how he's like, he took a step behind you. And he's like tucked his shoulder behind you?
He also hid about half of his body behind the left side of my body.
100%. So, it's an expert move, though.
I gotta get that in my arsenal.
I mean, because here, like when you guys are cheersing, you look more like, you know, I think you look more to scale. This picture, he looks like he's your son.
Yeah, Jimmy is still doing the, well, we saw it for the Christmas in June Hootenanny.
What?
He's still doing the hot chick bit where that's how he's taking photos. He's really got it down.
He was singing some little song while we were up here, and he did this little giggle when we were on our way over. I just don't know what it is, man. Like, he's the most feminine rock troll that I've ever met in my fucking life. It's very, very strange. But it was good of him to come up, and I think we got some stuff squared away. So hopefully on Friday, well, I think that I can say on Friday we will be streaming both on Facebook and on YouTube. So we've had lots and lots of people tell us they don't like Facebook and they're not a Facebook person. Well, nothing changes if you've been watching the Hootenanny, but if you haven't and you don't have a Facebook account, you can go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/ChadDukeShow or facebook.com/ChadDukeShow and watch the, well, I guess the official name for it, Tor, is the Broken Penis Anniversary Sword Show Hootenanny.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I would say so.
Why won't you hit the music? Why won't you hit the music? You can't be hungover 2 days later.
No, I overthought the first cue, and now the second.
I was vamping so long because I'm like, watching your finger over the space bar, I'm like, he's going to hit it at some point, isn't he? Much to my chagrin, the answer was no. Sword show, baby. We haven't done one. When is the last time we did a sword show?
Oh.
Has to be over a year.
Yeah, it.
Because the last one was the one where Joe and Orgy beat the shit out of each other, and that's where I got a kind of a bad taste in my mouth with the sword show.
I think 3 was Lil Nitro also.
Oh, that was a rough one. I forgot about the one where you did Satan's Toe and Lil Nitro. For some reason, we were eating spicy candies up here, too.
Yeah. It became Sword Show and Pain Show.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the vast amount of throwing up.
Yeah, we outkicked our coverage on that one.
That might have given us a year-long break for the Sword Show.
That was rough. We got a lot planned this Friday. First of all, live stream. You guys will be able to watch live for free. Appreciate that. During the Sword Show, this is cool, Tor. You will be able to purchase your Jim Jester second anniversary Broken Penis Sword Show Hootenanny official event t-shirt. It's got the date, it's got the time, it's got the unique logo. It's a beautiful shirt. I have posted it on social media. I posted it again. It is only for sale during the Sword Show. It is not for sale before, it is not for sale after. So the second the Sword Show is done, that shirt comes down. So if you want it, show starts at 7, shotgun start on Friday, 7 p.m. That is East Coast time. Shirt goes live, link goes live, and then it comes down at the conclusion of the broadcast. So don't miss out on that, because that is sure to be a Chad Duke Show collector's item.
Yeah, and we'll be sure to pin the link into the chat. So if you are active and in there, it should be easy for you to find to get to the website to buy the Sword Show shirt.
It's really cool. Boss came up with that one too, where it appears to be a noted hot dog logo, but only instead of having the name of the product, it is our buddy James Jester, Sweet Daddy James, and it's fantastic. Very unique, so that'll be available during the show. Also during the show, Tor, a giveaway. If you are a Facebook subscriber to the Chad Duke Show, this is going to be really cool. You're already entered. If you would like to be entered, just become a Facebook subscriber. You want to cancel it next month? All right. I would like for you to stick around. It helps. You get the backlog, all the video content. You get the access to the Super Secret Supporter Chat, all the fun stuff. But we do giveaways in there. We've given away, what are we giving away, Tor? PS5s. We've given away Xboxes, show stuff.
Yeah, a lot of show stuff. A
lot of show stuff, fun show stuff. This is no exception. A little more unique. We will be giving away an autographed copy of Take Another Hit, Coconut Pete, the album that inspired Ponytails and Cocktails. It is a beautiful 12-inch record, and it is signed by the entire cast of Broken Lizard. That's right. All six guys. I got it in my hot little hand. I got it at home. You can pick it up. I'll drop it in the mail, whatever. The only thing you got to do to be entered to win that bad boy is be a Facebook subscriber. So go to facebook.com/Chad Duke Show. Click the subscriber hub. Support it. The subscriber tab. It's a little tab at the top, right?
Yes.
Just become a subscriber, I think.
Correct.
It's $4.99 a month. It helps the show out, and you get a bunch of exclusive content. You can watch the show get streamed live on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And then you get entered in to win that beautiful, beautiful record. I'll post pictures of that as well. So Friday is a monster day for the Chad Duke Show. First of all, you get the bonus episode of the Sword Show. It is the second anniversary. It is the actual day. The second anniversary day. I don't know how we discovered this tour a month ago. And then it fell on a Friday. It's like God put this here for us to celebrate Jester breaking his schvance off. I guess his wife breaking his schvance off.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll have the live show, the shirt, and we're giving away the fucking record all on the same night. Now, Tor, I know you usually are a little apprehensive when it comes to sword shows, but we're going to have the monks bringing up the hot dog roller.
That's great.
We're gonna have half dogs for everybody. So, how many half dogs do you think you're good for on Friday?
Oh, I mean,
I'm gonna say 24. I'm gonna say 20. Enoch, this is an invitation to you. This is not an open screening for this fucking show.
Yeah.
The people that can be here know they can be here. It is unfortunately not open to the audience. But Enoch, if you would like to sit in the studio and just eat hot dogs the entire time,
that'd be great.
Fucking fantastic. I mean, if every shot of something crazy we're doing, Enoch is just casually eating half dogs, I will be the happiest person on earth.
It was, he really impressed.
He stole the show.
For the hot dog hootenanny. And this is not even a hot dog hootenanny.
Nope.
But I got to see him go at it again.
I don't know if he's available. He might have plans. I don't know. But if you are available, Enoch, and that sounds like if you could maybe fast for that day so you could really work up an appetite. What I loved about the hot dog hootenanny tour is that Enoch didn't even tell us he was just going to sit there and slam 17 hot dogs.
Yeah, it became, oh, Turkish John's like, yeah, I had like 3. And Rich Mordecai's like, I had 2. And then someone's like, the leader in the clubhouse has 10.
And it was like out of 15 minutes into the show. Yeah,
out of nowhere.
The great part about it, too, is I think 4 hot dogs. For me, 4 hot dogs is I can eat that and not be sick. You know, I'll feel okay after that. But anything past that, you really are dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight.
I think during the tailgate for Friendship, I had 4 hot dogs.
That was just casual,
and those were fully loaded also with...
Well, that we had a professional making the hot dogs.
And then the easy cheese, which was just delicious.
Brian from Natural Red. Maybe Joe will punch out again just so we can eat hot dogs in this parking lot again. It's crazy how much fun that was now. If Joe never would have responded and didn't come back in the fold, that still would have been the most depressing day of my life.
Yeah.
But now that he has, that was an amazing day.
It was a good day. looking back on it now, but the response from the listeners, even currently, about that show.
Yeah, nothing we've done since has
touched that. And I'm sitting here, that's the most upset I've been in a while, is sitting there and literally saying, hey, you know, this is a ton of effort for somebody.
I did want to give you a quick update. I know we're all over the place. Joe is now claiming, and this is new because I remember it very differently during the time there. Joe is claiming he wasn't there. Joe is now claiming he wasn't inside the whole time, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is a 180-degree shift in what he was claiming before, that he just didn't come to the door and that he knew we were out there. Am I fucking crazy on that?
This is within 2 weeks, because I heard Joe was inside and now Joe's saying he's not inside.
This past week, he told us, you guys know I wasn't in there that day. And I do what I always do when this topic comes up. I go, guys, don't fucking say another word. Let's just not go into this, because nothing can be. We still don't know what set Joe off. I still don't want Joe to whatever set. It's like fucking handling a bomb, man. It's like you don't know which wire to cut. And it's like, I don't want the bomb to go off. So, that was odd where I found that out.
Yeah.
Joe, one of the stars, though, Solid Dudes. I do want to get to that in just a couple of few. But let me finish up with the promotion. Friday, Sword Show.
Yep.
Saturday's the day where all the Hooray De Roy is going to be available.
Hooray De Roy.
Out at Commonwealth
Joint. Hooray De Roy.
There is the donut-scented Hooray De Roy candle.
Hooray De Roy.
There is the T-shirt that you saw Tor and Jester sporting.
Hooray De Roy.
There is the trucker cap, the snapback, and there is the diner mug, which, by the way, no disrespect, everything Bustle's made was great. Diner mug, my MVP so far. It's that big, thick fucking mug that they fill up at those, that some lady named Sally fills up whenever you're at a diner 2 o'clock in the morning smoking cigarettes.
It's a really good crop of merchandise. The one thing I would I would have to stay away from, and I would recommend others to not stay away from, because you have impulse control.
Sure.
The donut scented candle.
Yes, because Tor, he had a spoon with him for some reason at the shop, and he was trying to sink a spoon into the candle. And I had to say, I had to beg him. I was a big man.
Hooray De Roy.
I probably can't stop you if you want to really get after it, but please don't eat this candle yet.
We gotta sell it. It's technically inventory.
Hooray De Roy.
Oh god.
It just looked like a nice mid morning snack for you, I would assume.
My candles have to be something of the outdoors, or like not an ominous scent, but like a vague scent.
It can't be a citronella candle you won't eat. No. But if it smells like a donut, you're going to try to get in there.
Yeah, hey, dear boy.
Yeah, I can see that. My Saturdays now, listeners generally stop by when I'm working at the shop. And one of the things I'm getting regularly is people telling me what their kids are into, like chewing on and eating.
Sure.
And they're like, well, what I don't get is everything my kids want to chew on is like food related or smells like food, and that doesn't seem to necessarily hold Tor back. Like for you, I feel it's not about looking like it's something else. It's about just the feel and the texture. Is that
huge,
true?
Huge on it. Like just the eraser. And I was on Solid Dudes. I was explaining the E-Rock, I think, while you were going to the Matthew Burke Memorial.
May he rest in peace.
Urinal.
By the way. R.I. Fish.
I was showing him my collection of pens and pencils that I keep.
Oh, I missed that?
And I said, you know what? Tor, a young eighth grade Tor, didn't have all these nice erasers on the end of his pencils because they were all eaten.
Because they're all in your stomach.
Yes. And they're just perfect. I don't know what it is. It's just everything I need.
I've been giving away a lot of the Octopus news stickers when people come in. And every single time they pick one up, they're like, what about this made him want to eat the sticker? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. You think I've been able to figure out what's going on?
Look at the shine of it.
Is it just shiny, or is it like the fact that also it wasn't? It's not a bulbous sticker, but
no, it's like it was shiny, and then it had a couple very interesting holographic colors in it also, and that there's some. I literally felt it. I'm sitting here. Oh, this is a cool sticker.
Called
me, and it caught the light, and I felt it in my stomach, say like my gut telling me, you got to eat that.
Was it like, was it the first Pirates of the Caribbean or the pieces of cursed doubloons they were calling out to fucking?
Yeah.
That kind of is what it looked like. It was going on with you and your brain.
It's I wish I could explain it better.
Oh boy. Well, we'll give away the rest of the Octopus News stickers that Tor hasn't consumed this Saturday. Commonwealth Dry Goods. Make sure you come online.
Hooray De Roy.
It's first come, first serve. I think there's 48 candles. There's a we got a bunch of hats and diner mugs, but that shit tends to sell out pretty quick. So stop on by the shop on Saturday.
Hey, there, boy.
It'll be a fun Chad Dukes show.
The Virginia Pizza Crusade is on a mission to find the best slices in the Commonwealth. To keep up with the reviews, be sure to follow the Virginia Pizza Crusade on Instagram, at Virginia Pizza Crusade.
Tonight at 7 p.m. is going to be a lot of fun with that Sword Show Hoot Nanny. Tomorrow at Commonwealth Dry Goods with all the merch drop. I hope everybody gets to come out and we get to all hang out and just chit-chat for a little bit. But Tuesday, Dukes and Tor, back in the studio once again. A show sponsor pitched a bit. And normally when those things happen, you know how it turns out. They revisit a couple iconic moments from last week's episodes of Solid Dudes and ask Shude returns with the voicemails and one very interesting email. Now, all the talk regarding all the Solid Dudes shows, I'm going to ask you to subscribe to the show to hear all that. So I'm going to pull the Ask Shude segments out. We got flooded with some voicemails, so Gigantor went through all of them, picked out some good ones, and there was a little time for one little email to sneak into the bunch.
Everybody, the Chad Dukes Show Spotify page has updated playlists for your listening pleasure, including songs handpicked for our Tennessee road trip and 90s country playlists. Just follow the Chad Dukes Show on Spotify and you'll see all of the show's favorite tunes.
This is Ask Shude. Send us your questions, comments, or queries to mailbag@chaddukeshow.com and we'll get to them on the show.
Of course, you can also send your emails as well, and we are still looking for a sponsor for Ask Shude. If you would like to sponsor Ask Shude, get in touch with us, and we'll get it done, as long as you don't sell shitty trays. All right, let's head up to Beantown to start this off with David. Oh, do I have him?
Yeah, you got him. 4-3.
Sorry, Tor.
No worries.
I looked over at you. I was about to start bitching.
No.
Hey, Chad, this is David Slatt in Boston. You played a Bill Cosby clip a couple weeks ago where you talked about Lights Out, an old-time radio suspense show. I absolutely love old-time radio suspense shows that aired in the 30s and 40s. So I was wondering, now that the short story trilogy is complete, if writing and performing your own old-time suspense episode with sound effects and everything would be something you would be up for trying. Thanks.
I didn't participate in the short story con. Is he just saying it's like a written, creative type of thing for the show?
I think David would want a Chad Dukes Show, old-timey radio suspense show.
Those are... I've thought about it. They're an enormous amount of work.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to pull so many sound effects... one of the reasons why the Grease Man is a fucking genius is that he would do that every show that he did. And he was on five nights a week. Like, if you listen to Prairie Home Companion, it's on once a week. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing skits and sketches and shows and sound effects, but you can write them all week long and then perform them live. Grease was doing the sound effects and the music and the voices, and he was having to do 3-4 hours worth of fucking show every night. It's nuts. I think it's something that I would maybe think about, but the problem is that it's just going to be a huge undertaking, and it would have to be worth it. There would have to be some reason. I don't think just telling you, what is he talking about, just doing like a ghost story? Because that's what Lights Out was.
Yeah.
With the chicken heart.
I enjoyed the chicken heart story.
But that's just Bill Cosby being a genius and doing all the sound effects himself.
Right, right.
And there's no music.
It's just him creating a world, which is what he's very good at.
Yeah, and I can't do that. Like, I can't do the effects the way that Cosby can. So I'm not saying there isn't a path where that could happen. I just think that I'd have to mull it over, maybe get a suggestion on how to make it practical. Because I don't want to sit here and hand-fucking-tour a list of, all right, here's what I've written. Now here's 7 million sound effects you have to pull. Put this together. I just don't think that's very fair.
Looking for the right squeaky door Foley sound.
Yeah, I don't need that at all. I just fucking... maybe if it was 7 or 8 minutes long. Like, but even that, fuck, that sounds long, dude. That sounds long as shit. Like, maybe we could do, like, an old-timey radio show where, like, there's a musical guest, and then you do a fucking, like, we have a script written up, and we were acting something out. Like, I could see that happening. But also, it'd have to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, it would have to be something that we enjoy. I will tell you this. There is a production piece that will be debuting very soon. We're running promos for the new alt-right conservative talk show that we're going to be hosting on the network, America Pays with Hotman Ted. So, yes. We're giving away tickets to that Kingdom of Heaven movie, too, that everyone's so mad about. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, they're fucking mad. Boy, them movie critics are fucking mad. Art is good. Critical Drinker said it was a good movie. I don't want to see it, though, because it's about... I just don't want to see any movie about child trafficking.
Yeah.
But I also don't think, like... The main argument from the people that don't like it seems to be that, why are we shining a light on this? It's like, well, probably we should be talking more about how much child trafficking there is going on.
I would say so.
Seems to be some very, very famous and powerful people that have been involved in it recently over the past couple of years.
I think a lot of you might have kids also. It seems like a pretty insidious thing to do.
Yeah, I would rather be more discussion of how we can maybe fucking figure this out and address it like real adults. All right. Let's go to old Lord in Heaven.
Hey, Chad, Tor. This is Rich Mordecai.
He's in his bathroom.
Chad, love the solid dudes and party.
Thank
love
you.
Your discussion about MMA.
All right, go ahead. You all right? Okay. What struck your funny bone?
I'm back.
This is Rich Mordecai clearly sitting on the toilet. Rich, please, if you're going to leave a voicemail, don't be sitting on the trollet. You're going to kill my producer.
Oh, Lord in Heaven. It's immediate.
Well, I saw who it was from. He's a bit of a wild card.
Oh shit. Okay, I'm sorry.
Old Rich Mordecai. Been with us a very long time, Gigantor. Long time indeed.
Yep.
Got the picture of him with his belly, with the flap coming up, with the drag queen lady. Ever seen that picture? It's a great picture.
Hey, Chad, Tor. This is Rich Mordecai.
Can hear a flush.
Chad, love the solid dudes with Barty. Love your discussion about MMA fighting and Zuckerberg and the guy from Twitter fighting. It wouldn't be a good fight because they're not trained. Question for you. Did you used to enjoy the tough man fights that were on TV back in the day? This is all pre-MMA. Love you. Love the show.
What is it going on in the background there? It's like a duck or something?
Is
he cleaning a duck?
That's rough.
Tough man? I don't even know what that is. So no, Rich. I didn't like mixed martial arts until Brock Lesnar fought in the UFC. Like, I was not a UFC fan until Brock Lesnar made his debut in the UFC. I know that is a normie fucking take, and I know that might shock people because I've been screaming about MMA for so long. But I found it to be, I didn't like the level of violence, especially in those early UFCs. Like, I find it hard to watch people bludgeoning one another, and the knees to the head and the elbow strikes to the downed opponent. I know that sounds crazy now. My palate's changed. Like, I like watching bare knuckle, and bare knuckle is bloody as fuck. But I was vaguely familiar with the UFC just as a dude. Like, so I'm gonna get a pay-per-view, they put the fights on, I knew who Randy Couture was and Chuck Liddell and guys like that, Tito Ortiz, but I wasn't a huge fan. When Brock came over to the UFC and we were doing those appearances at V5, that just flipped the switch for me. And that's why whenever somebody shits on CM Punk fighting or Kimbo Slice or whomever, you never know when you're going to... I was a sports fan, and something clicked for me, and I became a huge UFC fan, and I've been a paying customer of theirs now for 20 years or whatever it's been. So that's why I never shit on them doing a quote-unquote freak show like that.
The Tough Man Contest, founded in 1979 in Bay City, Michigan, by late boxing promoter Art Dore, is a chance for novice amateur boxers, those with no more than 5 sanctioned wins in the past 5 years, to test themselves in the ring.
Okay.
So that's what it seems like it is.
I mean, look, before Dana put this whole thing together, I think there's a lot of promotions like that. I'm going to tell you all, I've beat around the bush about this for a couple of weeks now, but I just didn't never come up. Look up something called Fight Circus. It is a promotion that is happening as we speak. The guy that does it is, his name is John Nutt. It's very difficult to explain. So the whole thing emanates from Thailand, right? So there's no rules from what it looks like. I watched Bob Sapp and Rampage Jackson put on a giant shirt And then John Nutt and some other guy put on a giant shirt, and then the four of them boxed each other. I don't know if it was a work. I don't know if it was a shoot. I watched one woman fight two other women in what was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen in my life. It was a two-on-one fight, and it was fucking fantastic. There was they have something called a tire fight, where the two boxers have to put their legs into a tire, and then they can't leave that tire, and then they just kick the shit out of each other. They have this thing called the Wheel of Violence that they spin, and then whatever the type of match that comes up, that's what they do. Tyson Fury showed up at this fight. They have weirdly large celebrities show up, and I'm not alleging anything to her, but I think people go to Thailand to do exactly what people think they go to Thailand for.
Yeah.
So I think if you have a fight promotion in Thailand and you're like, hey, we'll put you up, we can do this and that for you, I think the guys will go there that are above this promotion's pay grade, if I can say that. Mike Goldberg was doing voice stuff for them. Like, it was just, it's fucking crazy. I think it's on the Fight Pass is what I think it is. Is it F-I-T-E? Or it might be on Dazen. I'm not sure. It's on one of those. But you can look at it on Instagram and get a taste. And this fucking crazy cracked out John Nutt guy, I mean, I have to assume he does a fucking pant load of sniz and then jumps on the fucking mic. But he closes out every single one of his events where he's getting the shit kicked out of him. Which is kind of funny, but I also don't really get it. Anyway.
Yeah, this is
Adam McNair turned me on to Fight Circus. And we watched, I think, three of them in one night the other night. And there's parts of it that are just atrocious. Like, there's this musical theater that they had to do the fights from in Thailand. And fucking, I guess they had to cut some deal where the dancers got to come out and dance in between the fights. So there would be like 5-minute crazy over choreographed dance breaks. Then John Nutt would get pissed off, and then they broke the stage, and so they had to fix the stage for an hour and a fucking half. And he's cursing out the dancers, saying, "You broke my fucking fighting ring." It's
this
nuts.
Is fucking nuts.
It's fucking nuts. It's worth just a freak factor. It's worth checking out.
I think I'm in.
To circle back around, I wouldn't have been interested in Fight Circus in 2004, but now I am. Pouts change. All right. Thank you to Rich Mordecai.
Big shoes. Dan Cortez from Salt Lake City here. Hey, just trying to get an update on the Boss Man. How's he been doing? I know we love hearing about him, and hopefully you love talking about him. Tor? Definitely need to see those basketball photos. Shirtless. That's all I'm going to say. I think you're going to move the meter. Thanks.
What basketball photos is he talking about?
I think I was referring to playing basketball shirtless.
Yeah, you do that at Top Hoppers, LLC. It's not just in the Clizz Hub.
I don't think I have any photos of me. I think you demanded that I get photos next time I do it.
Well, I can get behind that. It's fine with me. I gave a Boss Man store update last week. He is currently in the process of constantly getting melanomas sliced off his face, so he's all fucked up. Maybe I'll ask him if I can post some of those pictures. I think he'd be really excited. He sent me the grossest photo he's ever sent me, and I made the boys all look at it last week. Tor has not had to see it, and I'll continue that streak. Because
it's the nicest thing you've ever done for me.
Yeah. My dad there's two things my dad loves, is talking about women's genitals, and he loves people giving him pity. And so he'll send you the same photo over and over and over again of how fucked up he is, because they keep having to cut all this shit off of him because he walked around his entire life with his shirt off, not wearing sunscreen. So I think other than that, he's okay. I think my brother went down to visit him, but everybody knows what's going on there. I don't have much of an update. He texted me the other day, and I forgot about this, and he reminded me that my nickname, when I was a kid, my dad had this roommate named Freddie Ray, and Freddie Ray was a drunk's drunk. Like, Freddie Ray was one of those guys that would wake up in the night to drink a bottle of wine so he could keep his drunk going. Like, Freddie Ray would hide boxes of wine in the trash can that was in the park behind where my dad lived, because he'd get so drunk, my dad would say, "You got to stop drinking." So he would go out and he would have his box of wine in the trash can and he would drink out of that. They pulled off I could write a book about my dad and Freddie Ray. The scams, there's some scams that I don't even feel comfortable telling on the radio because I don't know, maybe my dad can still go to jail. Like, there's some shit where my dad should be in jail, but Freddie Ray got him out of it because Freddie Ray was a huckster's huckster. Mm. Like, he was a flim-flam man. But Freddie Ray was always around, and he wore a toupee, and he was weirdly overweight, and he was my dad had a pool, so he would just be walking around the pool with his big tits, and, like, he had his toupee on, and he was they were drunks. And where was I going with this story?
You had a nickname.
Oh, Freddie Ray used to call me the Cadillac Man. And I never drove a Cadillac, but what that meant was Freddie Ray used to be a used car dealer, which of course he was. And to be the Cadillac Man, the best bullshitter, the best fucking guy, he would sell the Cadillacs because that was all the high-end shit. Everybody else would be selling, you know, Oldsmobiles and fucking Pontiacs and shit.
Sure.
Cadillac Man was the big swinging fucking deal. So Cadillac Man was like the highest praise Freddie Ray could give somebody. And this was back when I was like, you know, teenager and then probably into my early 20s. Freddie Ray unfortunately has passed away, if you can imagine. So my dad reminded me that that was a nickname that Freddie Ray gave me, and I'd completely forgotten about it. So there's a story that I can update you for.
Cadillac Man kicks ass.
Yeah, that's a good nickname.
That's a great nickname.
It's way better than a lot of the nicknames that my dad gave out over the years, most of which probably would not be palatable in 2023. My fucking dad and Joe Azer should get together to do the unfunniest podcast that's ever been fucking assembled. There you go. Dan in Salt Lake City. There's a bunch of Boss Man updates for you. Let's head out to Brandywine.
Chad, Tor, this is Matt from Brandywine. My question was, I know you're a big Alan Rickman fan. I was wondering if you had ever seen Something the Lord Made, which is like an HBO movie with Mos Def and him in it. And if you had any comments or I think I've heard you reference it before, but I just kind of want to hear you or maybe the Fortress Film Society talk about it. All right, man. Y'all are great. Love all your stuff, man. Take care.
Well, thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Something the Lord Made, is that what he said?
I believe so.
So that came out in 2004. It looks like they both played doctors. A partnership that broke the rules, a breakthrough that changed the force of modern medicine. A new HBO film. Doesn't sound like something I would like, but I think Mos Def is a fantastic actor. I always try to put over every couple of years 16 blocks with Mos Def and Bruce Willis, which is one of the most underrated action / thriller movies I've ever seen. What's his name? The bad guy in that movie. Motherfucker, I should know his name. He's a fantastic actor. He's in Disturbia. He's in, I think, The Rock. He's in a bunch of great movies. Look that up for me, please, Tor. I should know that.
Is it David Morse?
That's him. He is fantastic in that movie. And those three principles are a 10 out of 10. If you haven't seen 16 Blocks, Matt Brandywine, if you haven't seen 16 Blocks, check it out. No, if I will watch this. Oh, Charles S. Dutton is in this movie. I love him. Yeah, man, I'll watch this just based off of your fucking recommendation. Kira Sedgwick. It's a decent cast. I've never heard of it. It doesn't look like something I would like, but I love Alan Rickman and I love Mos Def, so I think it's worth giving a shot. So I'll check it out. Maybe I'll get the boys on the Fortress Film to check it out as well. Want to remind you, Fortress Film Society this week, by the way, all the movies are up there, but Triangle is the one that I absolutely would recommend that you go check out if you're going to watch one. That's the movie. Or it's Triangles? I'm not sure. Really, really interesting film that I don't even want to tell you anything about. I just want you to go watch it. Do you have something there, Tor?
Something the Lord Made, 93% from the audience.
Really?
On Rotten Tomatoes.
I wonder what the big deal about it is. Maybe it's just a really good movie. And let's see here. Vanderbilt John Hopkins with his lab technician, Thomas Hammond, going to call his degree to get the mechanical tools. It just sounds like a medical drama, and I'm just not into those. Although I did rewatch Primal Fear the other day. Have you seen Primal Fear?
I have not seen Primal Fear.
You should watch it, because that's one of those ones where people will ruin the end if you don't know the twist. It's okay. A big 90s twist movie. Primal Fear, not as good as I remember. I remember Primal Fear being a movie I was blown away by the first time I watched it. And the end is a little bit easy to fucking pick up on, in my opinion, and a little hokey. But I got to watch it again. because I was hammered when I watched it. Got a bottle of George Dickel 15 that I was indulging in. Pretty great.
I caught some of the first, and caught some of it, the first fucking Hunger Games movie.
Oh, yes.
Tragic.
They're not good. I enjoyed the books. I know that sounds corny, but I read all the books and I actually thought they were fun. And they reminded me of The Running Man, which I'm a huge fan of. But yeah, I believe the movies get progressively worse too. I think they get worse as they go to Catching Fire.
Yeah, I will not watch the sequels.
But there's a big, I wish you'd stop wasting your time on some of the shit that you're watching.
It was just on in the house.
Yeah. Just watch Last Crusade again. I think that's the way to go. I like to make this announcement, too. I'm officially not going to see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning in the theater. I will not sit there for 2 hours and 43 minutes. I'm just not going to do it. I'm sure it's great. I'll enjoy it on demand. I saw it fell a little short of what people thought I could get. Definitely didn't get that Top Gun Maverick rub.
Uh-huh.
But where it might benefit is that the word of mouth on it is very good. So I won't have a flash syndrome with that issue.
I actually saw somebody talk themselves out of going to see it on Sunday night because they didn't realize how long it was.
How the fuck can you sit there? I mean, that's all day. You're gonna be there. There's, unless you fucking plan it out where you're walking right in as it starts.
Yeah.
There's 11 minutes of trailers.
That's being generous, by the way. Because
that's not just there's commercials too now at every movie theater. I went to that Regal Cinema to go see the fucking Insidious movie. There was 10 minutes of commercials before 4 trailers. I mean, we were starting 25 minutes after the goddamn time said on the listing.
I thought I was, last time I saw a movie in the theater, it was 7, it said it started at 7:20. I said, oh shit, I thought it started at 7:40. Damn, like maybe I'm going to have to miss the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Walked in, 3 more trailers left. I think I walked into the theater at 7:40.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to go now.
It's brutal.
I don't want to donate. I know this sounds shitty, but like, I don't want to donate that much of my day to go see a movie because like, you're out of touch with everything. Like, if you go in the evening, it's going to be late in the evening when you get out. If you go during the day, it's going to encroach into let's go out and have some drinks. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't fit. I don't want to devote that much time to it. I might see Dune 2 in the movie theater though, because I think you're going to have to this time around.
I'm excited to see that.
Remember, that got beamed right to your computer the same time it came out in the movie theater last time.
And I should have seen it in the movie theater because I think that the sound elements in that would have been awesome.
I agree. I think it would have benefited greatly.
The copters, the worm, just the great booms that I think would have been good.
Booms?
Yeah, booms.
Is that what you call a great booms?
Well, I guess vibrating noises and all that, it would have been good.
Great booms.
I stink.
Talking to a 4-year-old. Pick out one email and read it, Tor, if you don't mind.
Okay, here we go. Let's
see here. Yeah, well, I thought you didn't print them out?
Oh, yeah, I got it right here.
Why are you looking at your computer?
Because I have them on here, and I print out these for you.
Just pick out one and read it.
All right.
Pick out a good one.
Oh, here we go. Duke's Tor, I think we all agree that the old Bush beer song they sang in the commercials back in the early 80s made you want to drink lots and lots of Bush.
Yes.
Do you remember L.A. Beer? It was another beer from Anheuser-Busch, and they had commercials for it back that had a similar song, but there's one caveat. The beer had half the alcohol. The commercial makes me want to drink gallons of it, but do you think half the alcohol is a good thing or a bad thing? Founding member, Chris.
Well, I mean, light beers have less alcohol in them than regular beers, so I think you already deal with that. And then, of course, you have, like, all the, what is it, Bud Light Platinum?
Yeah.
I mean, Miller Lite has probably got half the alcohol of Bud Light Platinum, so that doesn't seem all that strange.
The best barbecue in Virginia can only be found at Monk's Barbecue in Percival, Virginia. Check them out at Monk's BBQ on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and at monksq.com.
I love those Ask Shude segments because the questions you get from listeners, it always brings up really good conversation. So much fun to be had. If you want to be a part of it, you can leave a voicemail, 385-645-5375, or send us an email. It's mailbag@chaddukeshow.com. Wednesday's episode, normally my episode, but Tuesday I had my surgery for my hernia repair, which went very well, by the way. So Gigantor sat in for me, so it was Chewed, Gigantor, Ant-Man, and Dick Smokan. The fellas had the weekly installment of the BMI. They give a bit of an update on me because I sent in a post-surgery picture to Dukes and Tor. There's a bit of a problem with the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and one show member just completely goes off the rails, which is kind of how those Wednesday shows go. But with all the shenanigans and an opportunity to make this all about me, the update on the Gym Daddy surgery and the photo that was sent in and all the boys' reaction.
Friendos, if you're in the area, make sure you visit Commonwealth Dry Goods in scenic Old Town Fairfax. They have the very best in local candles, peanuts, gifts, chocolates, olive oil, hot sauce, along with ice-cold cheer wine, and both types of music on vinyl. You can check them out on Instagram and Facebook at Commonwealth Dry Goods or order online today at CommonwealthDryGoods.com.
All right, Tor, how much of the Jester information should we give out? Because you and I have seen something that nobody else has seen.
Oh, no. All of it. I need to see it. I'm so desperate.
I gotta have it right
you
now.
You already saw all of it.
No, I don't think so.
Well, not before it.
Well, he hasn't seen what we've seen. We're the only ones so far today.
Yeah, the privileged few, me and Shude. I mean, Jimmy is an open book. Hey, I don't think there's ever been a thing he hasn't disclosed on the show. So if we were to talk about it, he would be able to provide further illumination from what we already know.
Well, I think he's going to be here tomorrow, but that is the Fortress Film Society. So it's not going to be able to, we're not going to be able to devote the time that we really should for something like this. So
Friday, though.
I'm sure Jimmy's penis has never distracted the, the show.
I mean, it's come up over there. I won't lie and say that it hasn't, but it's not as often talked about. And Goat is like, I love Goat, but he's uptight about weird shit.
Sure.
Like, he freaked out. Oh, I said he was jerking off into a kid's panties, and he was like, he got really upset about that. I don't know why.
Now, what if there was video of what you're about to talk about? Could you then, like, have that be what you review the next week on the Fortress Film Society?
A video? What do you mean? Oh, you mean like it's actually a movie review?
It was, like, recorded, yeah.
Yeah.
You treat it like a movie review.
I don't know. I'll just text you guys the picture so you can see it. This is a picture that Tor and I were sent today. I guess it was right after Jimmy got out of the hospital. And you could judge for yourself whether or not you would consider what happened today a success. Yeah, it's a little rough. But, I'll leave it up to everybody.
What? 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 What is that?
Dude, I went to text Jim today after the YouTube show.
Yeah.
Over at Chad Dukes on YouTube, and
can't stop looking at it.
I went to text him, and that was the first thing that popped up because that was the last thing I said to him. Is I sent him that picture.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I sent that picture to Dirk today.
Did you?
He goes, dude, what the fuck? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, what's with all the hair? I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, don't they get rid of the hair before surgery?
There's hair growing in places that it should. Spoiler alert, this is not the picture that Jim sent me. This is the picture that Ant-Man sent, I think, last week at some point.
Yeah, I took it after the show last week. So since just while we're talking about Wallace's penis, since all these penises are showing up in my house.
Can you explain what that means,
so
please?
So Friday for the hootenanny.
That's a wild thing to say.
I've got... All
what type of hootenanny? We're not doing a penis hootenanny.
No,
it's not a dick hootenanny.
It's a broken penis anniversary, second anniversary broken penis sword show hootenanny.
Yes.
Official name.
But Mark is home during the day, so he's the one getting all the Amazon packages. And because the Prime account is in his name, because I'm too lazy to buy my own, they all come in his name.
Oh,
so
for the love of God. He's a colonel in the Marines.
So
what are his over the ads going to look like on his phone?
Can you imagine? His Facebook's all fucked up.
Over the past week, random boxes of inflatable penises or penis-shaped items have been showing up at the house.
Yeah.
And today when I walked in the door, there was two boxes, and I think it said something like Gregory the inflatable penis or something on the box.
Sure.
And he goes, more of these? And I go, yeah, there's still a few more coming.
Oh, Lord in heaven.
They should be here tomorrow.
Why don't you have them shipped to the shop or something, for God's sakes?
I don't know. I just ordered them.
I'm insatiable, Dad.
I can't get enough. You know how much hog I require?
He is intrigued, though, because he does know about Jim's broke dick.
Does he want to come up for the show?
Yeah.
He might. I should ask him. I'll ask him tonight.
He's really welcome. I mean, I guarantee he knows how to use bladed weapons better than any of us.
Yeah, for sure.
He's used them on, let me check, humans.
Yeah.
As has his son, but in a different context.
Yeah.
And I got our crossbows to bring up here.
Yeah.
Or compound bows.
Ant-Man brought these little palm-sized compound bows that shoot needles. And it's a terrible idea.
It's like really a straw dangerous. That has like a pointy tip on it.
Sounds really
and it's
dangerous.
A mini compound bow. You can aim pretty well with it.
But if you got someone in the eye, like, they're going to.
Oh, they're fucked.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to Orlando Brown someone up here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on.
You can't do it.
How are
they're,
you gonna...
They're like this big. I got them in the truck.
But then you start breaking the arcade machines with the miss, at least the display.
I don't think they're that big. I think they're
not going that far.
Here's what I'd like to do, hey, man. Could we get you to pull your pants down to start the ceremony? We'll shoot one into your ass, see how much damage it does.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Is that fine, Tor?
Oh, that works.
All right. Hey, are you target? Are you worried about your dad coming up here? What about all the carrying on you do once you start drinking?
You do a lot of carousing.
He'll be all right. Do you know how many times I've stumbled through the door at night and raised hell?
I just don't know.
Yeah, but he hasn't seen you fondling men.
There is a lot of that happens after the fourth or fifth foam cup filled with gin. So I'll send you the real... Well, actually, I feel like I could almost reveal it on the fucking... We can't reveal it here, right? That wouldn't... I got to do it on the YouTube show because I can put the picture up. I'll show it to you guys, though.
All right.
Just so you can see it. Tor and I were sent this picture today, and I think you guys have the context of what Jimmy's belly button used to look like. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Jim Daddy today went to go get his, today, by the way, I mean yesterday, if you're listening to this, he went Tuesday, and it was hernia surgery. So we were kind of all, I think, championing and politicking for him to go get the penis fixed first. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Preferred that. But
2 years ago would have been a good idea.
I think it would have been a good idea. But at least this is something. So he didn't know if he was going to have to stay the night. He didn't know if he was going to have to, if there's going to be complications and so on and so forth. But I got a nice text from his wife, who must have fished my number out of his phone. I hope she didn't look at the messages.
Oh, jeez.
And she said, hey, Jim's good. He's resting for 2 hours in a recovery room, and then he'll be home tonight. I think he'll be at your show tomorrow. And I said, wow, that's pretty fucking great. Like, what an amazing thing. So then a little while later, Jim sent us this picture, and Tor did not respond for a full 3 hours.
Oh, he's a good friend.
I'm really confused.
Well, hold on. I would like
you're
to get
jumping ahead.
I know you're not listening, but I'd like to get Tor's response as to why he didn't respond for 3 hours.
Jimmy makes me uncomfortable at times.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm. And it's not out of malice. It's just this is an uncomfortable scene for me. And it's not even about the hernia. It's not even about the chest or the stomach or the belly button. It's the shorts.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, those are...
They are... As threadbare as any piece of clothing can possibly be.
I didn't even notice that yet.
They're fucking atrocious. And they're as bad as the shirt. Remember when I made Jim throw that shirt out in the back of the room?
Mm-hmm.
They're as bad, if not worse, as the quality of that shirt.
They have like a film over them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just, they only are a film.
Yeah.
Like they're not
so many stains.
Thin veneer.
Well, but it's like whenever you wear something for 15 years, it gets real thin and stretched out, and that's just everything that Jim wears.
What's that smudge in the middle of them on
it's
the right?
Dirty mirror, bad shorts.
Oh, it is a dirty mirror. That's right.
Shirtless jester.
So you're saying you didn't respond to him because you were too upset by the shorts?
I had to take a beat. I'm happy for Jim Daddy, and I knew that you know if he's just now coming out of the procedure, or you know if he's recent and happy about the development, cool. I'm not going to rain on the parade. I need 3 hours before I can address the shorts, which I did immediately.
It is undeniable his belly button looks a million times better.
It doesn't even look like him.
Yeah.
It looks like a belly button. Congratulations to him. That must be an unbelievable feeling. I asked Ant-Man this today on the YouTube show. I said, is there even a time frame? I know people think we're too mean to Jim. I get that all the time on the show. And I would say at times maybe you're even correct. Mm-hmm. But here's what I also will tell you, is if you were around Jim for as long as we are, it's an incredibly frustrating thing because he just is okay with things that he shouldn't be okay with. And what I asked Ant-Man was, if he wasn't involved with his show, when do you think he would have gotten that hernia fixed? Anybody? Everybody sit in silence?
No,
I think he would sit and wait until it burst or got it ruptured.
It's not a bursting
him.
Situation. No. You kept thinking it was a zit. I mean, you kept saying you wanted to pop it.
Can't a hernia, well, maybe not burst, but can't a hernia cause like a clog in the intestines?
Well, I think it could fall out. Eventually, the whole thing could just fall out, right? I mean, it's a rip in the muscle and the intestines are pouring out.
Right. So I don't think he would have done anything until it was a dire emergency.
Well, it looked pretty dire. I mean, yeah, between that and the bathroom, I think that he's just comfortable with how things are, and he adjusts. And whether it's horrific, like something horrific going on with your body or not, he just lives with it. And so
I guess
I don't think he would have ever. I don't know. I mean, he until never he was doubled
it.
Over in pain.
He never would have fixed
you
it.
You think never?
No. He would have died.
He would have died from the hernia. That would have been what ended him.
Jim Jester would have died.
Well, if he had, I'm yeah. with him. Or if I'm he couldn't Thor. Work anymore.
They wouldn't be using a bathroom. They'd be going to, like, the library to take bird bath showers in the bathroom. All right,
we're conflating two things, though. You're talking about, so the bathroom would still be completely fucked up.
Yeah.
And the hernia would still be.
I think they just, whatever happens to them, instead of spending money or time to fix it, they just keep it moving.
Keep it static, because nobody's moving over there.
That's true. But, like, when I was all messed up on drugs, when bad things would happen to me, I would just keep moving forward, and, like, hopefully it would go away. And, like,
the way things work, though.
No. I realize that now. But, like, at the time, that's what I would try to do until it was, like, you know, I had to go to the hospital to get my arm sliced open, or else I was going to have a giant infection through my body. Like,
okay.
I would put
new.
It off until it was dead.
There's always some new horrific story to be told.
Until it was, like, life or death. And I think that's what he would do, too.
We go back to the on-hill conversation. I would hope that with a family involved, like, something about that process would change. But I just remember when he was fucked up limping around after he said, I'm bulletproof, nothing can hurt me. And I remember saying to him, Jim, if you get hurt, they're all going down.
Yeah.
Because nobody can do anything or nobody will do anything. Here's the part.
Uh-oh.
Jim shared something. I probably shouldn't mention this on a day that he's recovering, but just to give context of how awful everything is.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta say it now.
It involves the kids. That's the only reason why I'm kind of... all right, well, let me write it down for Tor.
Sure.
Tor and Times has been my moral barometer.
I'll try to give you... I'll see if this can...
If you write
clearance.
It down, you'd already be ready for the name of the show, too.
So are these three spots on the top where the robot went in?
I believe those are the incisions.
So they're literally picking... They're fixing it from the top down.
Well, I don't...
The hernia is nowhere... At least 2 feet away from that spot. Maybe not 2 feet.
Maybe it's
but
because the G, you have to go in like above the... Oh, shit. I just was showing the fucking thing to the camera. I don't think it was legible, but I could be wrong.
If that's what a robotic hernia surgery looks like, then...
Really?
It's bad though, right?
Yeah.
Are you destroying it?
Yep. Are you going to eat it?
This is going nowhere.
I like that he wouldn't even let me get the piece of paper back.
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
Here's what I'll tell you.
Uh-huh.
Is that the last thing anyone in the world should want is for somebody to...
Oh, no.
I can't say it without... Can I say that without giving
gonna
it away?
It's going to be... No.
What's Jimmy's worst characteristic other than his body? We just talked about it. He was wearing it in the picture.
Attention to detail.
His clothes.
Yeah.
His clothes are... Or awful. He has no respect for himself.
Oh, I think I know what you're saying.
He wears old, weathered, terrible clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with that.
Yeah, I think they...
Don't bring it. I'm not saying it because it shouldn't be said.
Yeah.
The bit where you say something that I asked you not to say into the microphone moments after is not a good bit, man. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
I think what we're trying to say is get better, Jim.
Yeah, get better, Jim. And hopefully we see him soon. And it sounds like he's on the mend. And it also sounds like penis is next, so hopefully
I hope so.
Well, hopefully by next July 21st there is no third anniversary broken penis hoot nanny, because the penis is fixed.
If there's a third one, then he needs to see
a
psychiatrist.
Here's what I'm gonna tell you, Jim, and I love you to death, and it would be very difficult for me to do, but if you don't get your penis fixed in the next calendar year, I feel like I gotta fire you, because I can't enable that any further.
No, he's...
It's tough love.
Yeah. He's the only one that's like having to deal with unhealthy things. Like,
what?
Everybody else gets...
You ever been to the bathroom with me?
Well, no. I deal with unhealthy things all the time. I'm saying family-wise. Like, everybody else gets their issues fixed. Like, why is he the one that just doesn't get repaired?
Because he's lazy.
Yeah.
I know. But
he's just lazy, and he'd rather not do it rather than do whatever it takes to get it done. It's not that bad. I mean, it's
dude, this picture, he looks like a whole new man. Like, he... He is 20 years younger with this picture.
I don't know about that, but he doesn't look like a fucking freak show. Like, right. He doesn't look like Krang. And I think that everyone should aspire to not look like Krang.
Yeah. That's a good goal. I think Ant-Man's got some feelings stirring up right now.
Well, because, dude, that giant bulge of a person coming out of his stomach
I've
is gone.
I spent a lot of time looking at it.
I love his bulge.
Well, I also say that Ant-Man has spent the most time discussing these events of anybody that we know.
If you're interested in buying or selling a home, there's only one person you should call, and that's Joe Azer. You can reach him at 571-989-2937. That's 571-989-AZER.
I know you guys are with me when it comes to my clothes. I love those pants. Those shorts are so comfortable. I love those shorts. They're so comfortable. They've been with me for so long, I just can't get rid of them. Thursday, we got the Fortress Film Society back together. We discuss and review Dottie's movie pick, The Long Goodbye, from 1973 with Elliot Gould, a Duke-suggested psychological horror film from 2009 titled Triangle, and 1990s dive into the NASCAR world with Days of Thunder starring, of course, Tom Cruise. We also go over a couple movie headlines that caught our attention and try to figure out what in the hell people want from their entertainment. The movie reviews, very good. All the movie reviews, I feel like it went well. It went over well with everyone. So let's get to those movie headlines and just try and figure out what in God's name are the DC folks doing over there.
If you want to become a Chad Duke Show Facebook subscriber, it's very, very easy. Head to the Chad Duke Show on Facebook, hit the Subscriber Hub button, and follow the steps to gain access to the secret supporter group chat and get the bonus show video backlogs.
Boys, are you okay with doing a couple headlines before we wrap it up? All right, hit the music, Jim.
The film music? Yeah, I got that.
Yes, the film music. Wood.
That's my favorite.
Business.
All right. Couple of notes here, boys. Aquaman. The Lost Kingdom just went through its third round of reshoots.
Ah.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, you're saying they're threatening to actually release it at some point.
Yeah. And you say, Dukes, why are you bringing this up? Well, I thought you might be interested as to why they had to reshoot it. So, this movie was supposed to come out before The Flash.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. They fucked all that up.
Uh-huh.
They had a cameo in this movie shot with Michael Keaton again as Batman. They cut that out, and they shot a cameo with Ben Affleck as Batman.
Okay.
They've now cut both of those out.
Cool.
Good.
Wow.
Great.
So they had to go back and refilm because they have eliminated Keaton and Affleck as Batman from the shitty Aquaman movie. The reason why this is noteworthy, other than fuck these movies,
yeah.
Michael Keaton has now been completely cut out of two DC properties as Batman. If you want to point, you're not doing your job right. You have convinced this man to come back and take this role, something he was never going to do, and now you fucked it up twice for no good reason whatsoever, including one of the biggest superhero bombs of all time, The Flash, which has now grossed less money officially than the Green Lantern Ryan Reynolds movie, which has been a punchline for, I feel like, half our lives.
I'm glad he got to repave his driveway.
I guess, man.
One of those fucking paychecks.
Holy shit, can you imagine saying, you know what, we got to cut Michael Keaton out of this. It doesn't make sense canonically or however you say that. Who gives a shit? No one knows what's going on in any of your movies.
And I think that's the big thing for me, like with the amount of, you know, the happy trigger that that Warner Brothers has, you know, especially under the Discovery umbrella. Why are they still trying to make this? Why aren't they just cutting their losses on this instead of reshooting and recutting and reshooting and recutting over and over again? Because you've seen what development and production hell does to a movie. First off, any surprises get leaked immediately. It's the longer it goes on, the more likely people are just going to be like, whatever, yeah. I'm tired of hearing about it. And my understanding is that they've been trying to basically reboot the entire DC movie franchise around James Gunn's new vision anyway. So what does this movie give you if you're going to just throw out, let's say, it was Batwoman, right? Like,
yeah.
If you're just going to throw that out, just throw this out. I mean, just move on with
maybe
your
life.
Maybe
because the first one made a giant, I mean, I can make it at $900 million. It made a giant pile of money.
That's a long time ago.
I forgot it was.
Do you know how bad that movie is?
Dude, I forget that it exists.
Like, there's a 50-minute scene at the end where they're fighting on a green screen, and I'm like, Who the fuck didn't walk out of this
movie?
And
I feel so bad. It's not James Wan's fault. He signed on.
Patrick Wilson's in it.
He signed on for this bullshit. James Wan is a great movie maker. He is a great fucking director.
And he's directing Patrick Wilson.
Yes, which is his guy.
Yeah, yeah. They've got a symbiosis going.
They do.
So it's not. I don't think it's his fault. I know he had signed on to do this, so he was contractually obligated. We will never see a franchise movie from him again after this, and thank God for that.
Malignant, yeah, we all win.
Malignant was amazing, and I hope he just makes weird, crazy horror shit for the rest of his career.
He might make his own franchise movies still.
Sure.
They just won't be big established IPs.
He birthed Insidious, and I'm glad, and The Conjuring, and I'm glad that those exist, but I think he's trying to get us far away from... The studios have meddled in the last, I think, 4 movies that he's made. He got fucked... Vin Diesel fucked him over with Fast and Furious, even though that one's probably the best of the franchise. He got fucked over with reshoots for The Conjuring 2. They made him add in The Nun because they didn't like the movie that he had made.
They didn't say it was scary
enough. And then can you imagine the guy that he probably the most relevant horror director of the last 20 years, and you're telling him, no, this isn't scary enough. You have to go and add this other thing in.
Yeah, which has nothing to do with the core story of the entire thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, he got when there was still promise behind this franchise, he got the opportunity to direct a superhero movie, and it's such a disaster that he had no control over it. So I'm such a huge fan of his. I just hope that he bounces back and is creatively content in whatever he
does. I'm going
to
play the devil's advocate. The Nun grossed $365 million.
That is a staggering number.
That's an unbelievable
number. That is a staggering number for that movie.
You know how much it cost? $23 million.
I was about to say nothing. There's no one.
That's just free money. Yeah.
There's no one in it.
Look, man, every once in a while, those fucking suits get it right. I mean, it's just they do. And sometimes, I hate to say this, Dottie, I don't mind directors being told no every once in a while because they're all crazy and they all fucking get lost in their own world. But
so what you're saying is you've already pre-ordered your tickets for the next Nun movie.
I'm going to see the next Nun movie.
There's nothing wrong with that.
The Nun was bad, but that Nun is horrifying, especially in that Conjuring movie.
It's effective. Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's like, all right, I'll make it scary for you. Yeah. Here. Like, I think that he did that much better than someone else would, given what he had to work with.
Is there any chance you look at it like, I'm going to hire a chef and let him know, hey, I don't like mayonnaise, or hey, I would appreciate it if you could work something in that makes... Remember we were at the tiki place, remember you were there?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, what do you like? And we said, well, I like these 3 ingredients. He's like, all right, I'll make you a cocktail with those 3 ingredients. Is it possible that like you bring in a director that knows what they're doing, but you're like, hey, we know a little something about how scary shit is. Could you work this in there too?
Is there
a chance you could add a pinch of cinnamon to this?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's been given the middle ground. I think he's been just dealt a shit hand after shit hand. But then he got to make Malignant, which was like, you know, the most out there opposite movie of what he had been making for the last, at this point, almost 10 years.
I'm going to watch Malignant when I get home.
It's great. If you haven't seen Malignant, you absolutely should.
Tor hates it. It's another good reason to watch it. you guys aren't going to like this either. It's another superhero story, but there's another reason behind why I'm
sick. Oh, no.
Blue Beetle is the other movie coming out for DC. We're all excited. I've already bought my tickets for all of us.
Do I have to buy tickets for it through the blockchain?
Well, it's an interesting question, Goat. If you do, you're buying tickets to the second shortest DC movie of all time. Now, I would ask you, what do you think the runtime is for Blue Beetle, being it is the second shortest?
I'm trying to think of what the shortest would be. Superman 4, are we going like all DC properties?
I don't believe
forever?
So. I can't imagine.
Like the current
of the era. Okay, of
the modern era.
The
era,
bullshit. Yeah. Okay.
I'd say since The Dark Knight.
All right, so I think Justice League, not the Snyder Cut. Regular Justice League is like 2 hours, 7 minutes.
Mm. The longest, by the way, is the Snyder Cut, 4 hours and 2 minutes.
No kidding.
Go fuck yourself.
I'll never get that Sunday back.
2 hours and 2 minutes.
That's probably the angriest show we've ever done.
We were subjected to that. And
you have a guess, Goat?
Yeah, I was going to say 147.
Ooh.
Under 2 hours.
I was going to go 157.
The shortest movie of all time is Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. At some point, they changed it to Harley Quinn, ; Birds of Prey. I didn't realize
that. Not Emancipation of Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey on tour with the Partridge Family.
No idea. 1 hour, 49 minutes. Blue Beetle, 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Okay.
They're taking a victory lap. The Blue Beetle movie is over 2 hours. If you're talking about scrapping a movie, at least Aquaman is Jason Momoa, and by the way, we made $900 million. How the fuck are they still going to put out a Blue Beetle? And they've gone as far as to say that the Blue Beetle is going to be, it was first supposed to be part of whatever Snyder was doing, and now they are grandfathering it in to
this is the Gunn's genesis of the new DCEU.
Yeah. Oh, boy. No fucking idea. And it's still over 2 hours, and I don't understand when this happened. I said this to Eric Davis today. The first Mission Impossible, I think, was an hour and 51 minutes.
Yeah.
And it felt like a pretty lengthy movie when I remember watching
it. They were all in that, like, the first few were all in that, like, kind of hour and a half, hour 50, and then they started to creep up as the franchise went on.
Help me out, guys. And Dotson, you work in a movie theater. If your movie's longer, that means you get less viewings of it in the theater.
Correct.
So that means you have to, then if you want it, you have to put it in more theaters. So that drives out other movies out of the theater quicker.
Yes.
So everything about longer movies, regardless of whether you like them or not, I don't think is healthy for movie theaters because you have less screenings and you have less options. Is that fair to say?
And it depends on, well, when you're making superhero movies like this, the goal is to be making money.
Right.
So you're right. Like the new, whatever it is, whether it's a Scorsese movie or a Coppola movie or whatever, and it's 3 hours long, it's like, all right, you're not going to make as much. But they're trying to win Oscars, right? Yes. Or their artistic expression, whatever you want to say. But this is a cash cow. You are just trying to churn the dollars. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, you're not going to fill as many auditoriums if you have this long-ass movie. Or they're going to blow their load. They're going to put it in four of their auditoriums, and then they're going to be done with it a week afterwards.
Which is what's going to happen. And that's why you saw, leading up until Mission Impossible, they were sneaking fucking Indiana Jones out of theaters left and right. I don't know if you guys saw that story in anticipation of this weekend that was coming up. Last story, Tuber and I went to go see Insidious Red Door last week. Mm-hmm. It has made $122 million over that, almost $123 million.
That feels respectable.
Really is. $58 million here, $64.5 million internationally. It has outperformed Insidious Chapter 2 during opening weekend, which was the highest grossing installment in the series history. So it's actually doing better now with inflation. Who the fuck knows how much money tickets were. That's good, and I'm glad, because I like the franchise, and the first two Insidious movies are real good. This is a bad movie. It's real slow, not a lot of scares whatsoever, and as Tuber and I were leaving, I thought you made a sage-like point. He goes, Patrick Wilson directed this.
Yeah.
I believe it's his directorial debut.
Correct.
He said he's going to take it on the chin for this, and it ain't his fucking fault. It is a poorly written movie.
It's written by the guy who wrote, can you guess? I pretended to like it for an hour and a half.
Oh, no. Not one of the bad Halloween
Kills.
Kills.
Yes.
Not Ends.
No, I still haven't seen Ends.
Oh, okay.
I might wait till... I might cross... I'm close enough to a year now. I might just cross that. Cross the year mark of when it came out, and then I'll watch it afterwards.
Just hit it. take the bullet.
I'll watch it in November.
Right after Halloween.
Holiday's over.
It'll make you glad that Halloween's passed. Yeah.
And also, it's fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how anyone could have enjoyed that movie. The first Insidious made $100 million, it did way better than that. It is the highest grossing Insidious movie so far, which is crazy to me because it's probably my least favorite. Insidious The Last Key is still the worldwide box office titan, which, by the way, that's a bad movie, too.
Yeah.
It ain't great.
The Red Door is not good, but it's not like I'm rooting against it, right? No. Like, I'm glad that it made this money. I'm glad that people are going out to see horror movies in the midst of, you know, summer blockbuster action franchise town.
Yeah.
Insidious is a franchise movie, but it's not a juggernaut like Mission Impossible, Indiana Jones, whatever.
Well, and it's been a minute since the last one came out.
Yeah, I mean, it picks up where Insidious 2 left off, and that was 10 years ago. That was 2013.
Yeah,
so,
$16 million production budget, $126 million at the worldwide box office.
And I think we should, you know, we should make sure that people know we didn't walk out of this movie like really angry.
I would say disappointed.
We were just like, that was kind of nothing. But hey, at least we're out at the movies together. This is nice.
I think I did see a headline that the Insidious franchise is on indefinite hiatus. I think it was Patrick Wilson and James Wan both like said that. They said there's no plans to make another one, which, after seeing this one, I was actually kind of disappointed to hear, because I felt like this one we're five movies in and we still don't know anything about Darth Maul. You know, yeah. It's like, what's
no idea?
What is his deal?
And
what's
that's
happening?
The biggest letdown. It's like, oh, we're finally going to get more of this guy. We're going to understand. We're going to spend a lot. The best part of that
we're
first
opening the door.
Is,
it's going to happen.
Oh. Once they're beyond the door, that's when all the cool shit is. That's where like James Wan's vision comes into play.
Yeah.
And we didn't get that with this. We didn't get any of it, really. No. And the most frustrating part about it for me is, like, we had to watch these two characters, the dad and the son, go through and learn about this just like they did in the first movie. And I'm like, guess what? The rest of us, we've already seen this movie. So why do we have to relive this
again? We
know
Uncle Ben is dead, okay? We don't need to watch Uncle Ben die one more time.
It kind of reminded me of first Jurassic World and the Force Awakens, where it's just, oh, you just remade the first movie in these installments. It's just later in time.
So, unfortunately, it's not good. Yes, not Patrick Wilson's fault. I hope he directs more movies. I think that, like, James Wan and Lee Whannell produced it so that he had them to kind of mentor him through it, and I hope that he gets a chance to do something else because I really like the guy. Didn't E-Rock, like, see him in Starbucks sometimes or something like that?
I don't know. He does. I'm very jealous.
I think he told me, like, they go to the same coffee shop, and he's, like, a really nice guy, and everyone kind of knows him.
I want to be with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Around him.
He looks amazing, by the way.
Yeah, he looks like they both do. Was it Rose
Byrne?
She looks exactly the same. Everybody looks exactly the same.
Also, not enough of her in this new
she's
one
great.
Because she's one of the best parts of those first two movies. Like, she's stellar.
And I hate using the word adorable, but that's what she is also. Mm-hmm. And then also, the kid kind of sucks. And I really appreciate the fact they went back and
that
got
it was the same kid.
Yeah, but it's a lot of his close-ups of his dumb face and his
speaking of Jurassic World, he's also the shitting kid in Jurassic World.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The kid with the helmet hair?
Yeah.
That is the dumbest haircut. Look at the younger kid in Jurassic World. He's wearing a fucking Raiders helmet.
And then he's also the kid in... So for a while, he was just like the kid in everything. He's in Iron Man 3.
Is he that kid?
He's where he crash lands and he helps him back out.
Iron Man 3, they should call it. He's not going to be Iron Man in this movie ever. Fuck.
Yes, but that was my biggest complaint about the red door, is that we got just nothing about...
Nothing! They paint over the red door 5 seconds after we see it!
And then it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Friendos, head over to the Chad Dukes Show on YouTube to get more great shows and segments of the Chad Dukes Show and Solid Dudes with Chad Dukes. That's youtube.com/ChadDukesShow, and make sure to like and subscribe.
I love doing the Fortress Film Society. The conversations out on there are so thought-provoking. Dottie and Goat mixed in with Dukes. I mean, the three of them going back and forth, I could sit there and listen to it all day long. But tonight we have a big one. 7 p.m., live for everybody. We're going to be broadcasting on Facebook and YouTube at the same exact time. It's the Broken Penis Anniversary Sword Show Hootenanny. I think that's all of it. There's going to be inflatables that are going to be in the shape of, you can probably guess, cutting devices, hot dogs, how do you go wrong? And again, that's 7 p.m. tonight, live and free for absolutely everybody. Thank you guys so very much for checking out the show. I do greatly appreciate it. I also would appreciate it if you go and support all of our sponsors. Go visit Money Monk at Monk's Barbecue in Percival, Virginia, or check them out at Monk's on the Farm, Flying Ace Farm in Lovettsville, Virginia. Realty questions, Joe Azer, he's our guy, 571-989-AZER, 571-989-2937. And if you're feeling a little sleepy, you should go to don'tsleepenergy.com, use the Dukes promo for 10% off your entire order. If you're not regularly visiting the Chad Dukes YouTube channel, you really should. There's so much extra content on there. I made my first show debut on there last night, which was just a ton of fun. But if you want to keep up with the show itself, www.chaddukeshow.com. Links to all the sponsors, the shop. You can get all your merch. We're going to have a special shirt available only during the Hootenanny tonight. So be sure to grab yourself one of those during the show. Down at the bottom are all the socials. Twitter, it's @ChadDukes. Instagram, @ChadDukesShow. Facebook.com/TheChadDukesShow. And YouTube.com/ChadDukesShow. I appreciate you guys so very much. I hope to see you out at Commonwealth Dry Goods tomorrow for all the Harried Airboy merch drop. And if the good Lord is willing and the creeks don't rise, I'll see you back here tonight on the Hootenanny. Roll out the Airboy!
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.